keeps saying yes quickly. He jumps in wholeheartedly. He gets back up after a setback. He just keeps growing and going and growing and going. There is a vivid description that I like on a website called Sanctified Arts, and it says, Peter drops his nets. He walks on water. He runs into the empty tomb. He swims to the shore to meet the risen Jesus. He keeps searching and yearning and loving, even after missteps and mistakes. Ultimately, in Peter's story, we are reminded that God loves imperfect people. In fact, time and time again, that's precisely who God claims and calls. Peter's call to follow Jesus is recorded in Matthew, and it says that at once he dropped his nets and followed Jesus. At once. It shows that Peter was this all-in kind of guy. It appears that he didn't hesitate or he didn't ask questions. He was just deeply moved by the ways of Jesus, and he said, yes, I will follow you. And there are many, many stories of Peter in Scripture, and I think they're just wonderful accounts to read. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at Peter's life, the ways that he encountered and experienced Jesus just before Jesus' death on the cross, and then following Jesus' resurrection. We're going to start this morning at John 13, where it records the last Passover meal that Jesus was having with his disciples. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to his Father. And during this meal, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. At this meal of deep significance, Jesus did something well out of the ordinary. He began to do the job of the lowest servant. He washed the disciples' feet. It was customary that the lowest servant, not the words that I would use about anybody, but the lowest servant of the home was to wash the feet of the guests as they came into the house, especially for such a formal meal like this one. But for some reason, this didn't happen when Jesus and his disciples came into the room, and so they were eating this last meal together with dirty feet. And then through this act of washing the disciples' feet, Jesus is revealing to them his servant's heart towards them. I want us to listen in as we hear of Jesus with a towel around his waist coming towards Peter to wash his feet. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Over my lifetime, as I read and reread these words of Peter's, I come to a new understanding, a new way of seeing this each time. Sometimes I have thought that Peter is very proud and impulsive, that he may have thought that the other disciples had missed the point and that Jesus was kind of testing them and that they were actually supposed to protest Jesus washing their feet because he was too great and they were too unworthy. He maybe thought that Jesus was trying to trick them. Peter would have been really, really familiar with his feet being washed, and he could welcome that from others, but not from Jesus. And this year, I have wondered if Jesus is saying no, or sorry, if Peter is saying no to Jesus washing his feet because he is resisting the fullness of Jesus' love for him. That Peter was feeling uncomfortable with Jesus coming and performing such a humble act of service for him. I wonder if Peter was expressing to Jesus that he didn't need to be served, that he just wanted to serve Jesus. He didn't need to be served. He just wanted to serve. Jesus said to Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Peter had to receive this act of service from Jesus. And again, I wonder why Peter and maybe some of us resist the idea that Jesus wants to serve us, to nurture us. therapist Carissa Early writes, "For many of us, our human limitations bring up complex emotions, perhaps shame or frustration. Our culture often prizes self-sufficiency and material success. When we are confronted with our frailty, with our weakness, with our need for love and nurture, discouragement may weigh heavy on our hearts." With the washing of his feet by Jesus, Peter quite possibly thinks that is a sign of weakness. Or maybe Peter misinterprets this as Jesus not fully acknowledging Peter's commitment to serving and following him. I am curious, actually, if Peter doesn't know how to sit still around Jesus, that his desire is to learn and to grow and to do and to serve more and more and more. And stillness with Jesus just doesn't fit. Many of you know, but I'll return to it again because it was my life lesson time, that 3 years ago, my husband Terry had an accident while woodworking, and the shock of the accident mixed with the deep fatigue that I had been trying to push through landed on me in a really low place. And it took several months for me to recuperate. And this time of recuperating, of growing in strength again, it involved silence and solitude and stillness. And at first, I really, really fought this. I fought my inability to go and care for others. I fought my inability to serve, to lead, to be present with others. Because those are the ways that I'm most familiar and most comfortable with in my faith with God. But I would describe this season as a time where Jesus served me very, very gently with great love and kindness. And when I regained my strength and felt like my old self, maybe that's not our goal, but I felt like my old self, I declared to myself and to many others, I will not let myself get tired again. I will keep the disciplines of silence and stillness as my priorities. That was my declaration. It's a good declaration. And unfortunately, I have moved away from this. The tasks that pull me, and they're really, really meaningful ones and ones that I really enjoy, these tasks have drawn me back into days that are really, really full. And silence and stillness with Jesus have become the things that I will get to most often. And yet the days when I receive this humble service and attention from Jesus, they are so deeply etched in my mind and my heart, and they're calling me back. And so I'm just really committed to reordering my days because I want to include those moments of being present with Jesus in stillness and in solitude and receiving that, which is so beautiful for my soul and my well-being. So we know that having his feet washed by Jesus was also etched in Peter's mind. It was something that he remembered that became part of his being. Because decades later, when Peter was writing to the Christian church about humility, he put it like this. Peter says, "Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Or as the Amplified Version says of 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "Tie on the servant's apron." What Jesus did by wrapping that towel around him and kneeling to wash Peter's feet, it stayed with Peter. It's what Peter wanted, and it's what he encouraged us to do one towards another. As Jesus tells Peter that he must accept the foot washing, Peter, in his bring it all on attitude, says, "Well then, not just my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well." He was still reluctant to let Jesus do what Jesus wanted to do. And so Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." This year, I am so drawn to those words of Jesus to Peter. You are clean. Jesus isn't talking about Peter's physical cleanliness here. When a priest of God was first consecrated, he was washed from head to toe, the symbol of being baptized into the service of God. And I believe that Jesus was saying to Peter, when I look at you, I see your baptism. I see your commitment to following me. I see all of you. I see you as clean. What beautiful words to have spoken to us by Jesus. You are clean. From these words of Jesus to Peter, we can be confident in the truth from 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Being a new creation, it infuses hope into the corners of our deepest darkness places. It brings hope into our confusion and our suffering and our limitations. And Jesus says, this is not what I see. I see the new creation. And in this same chapter, just about 20 verses further, Peter declares that he would lay down his life for Jesus' sake. He says, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Do you hear Peter saying again, I will not? To which Jesus answers, very truly, Peter, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. We believe Peter. We believe his proclamation that he would die for Jesus. In a way, Peter is again saying, not me. I will not abandon you, Jesus. Yet Peter does, not in a deliberate way, but in a way in the heat of the moment, in the midst of a time when being a follower of Jesus was very costly and frightening. But before we look at Peter's denial, I want us to look for a moment that happened just between Jesus' prediction to Peter and Peter's denial. And I want us, as we hear this, to keep in mind Jesus' words to Peter, you are clean. And as the time of Jesus' death approached, Matthew 13 tells us of Jesus entering into a deep time of sorrow. Scripture reads it this way. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus wanted Peter to accompany him in this time of great grief. He chose Peter as his companion. He chose Peter as a witness and a protector, even when he knew that Peter was going to deny him. And this is one of the most vulnerable times in Jesus' life, and he wants Peter with him. What does it look like for you and for me to be invited to accompany Jesus into his sorrow? How might we do that? My understanding of this, and it might be different than your understanding, is that Jesus wants us to companion him into places of injustice. That he wants us to be deeply saddened with him when his ways are not represented well. He desires for our company in welcoming the stranger and those who are deemed unwanted or unlovable. And Gathering Church, I see you sitting and watching with Jesus as we carry out our mission and our values. So sitting with Jesus and watching with Jesus after a full and complex day was not easy. And in the quiet of Gethsemane, Peter and the other disciples, they fall asleep. Scripture tells us, and Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, for the second time, Jesus went away and prayed. And he said, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Like Peter, have you ever fallen asleep in your faith or grown tired of what Jesus seems to be placing in your journey? Or maybe even this morning you feel very wearied in this faith journey. And Jesus acknowledges our weariness. He doesn't berate us. In Matthew 11, Jesus offers the weary just this beautiful invitation where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Peter, I must wash your feet. Peter, you are clean. Peter, I know that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Let's get going. Jesus' view and affirmation of Peter is strong and it is clear. Even as Peter has fallen asleep in Jesus' time of anguish, he sees Peter. He knows him. He acknowledges his weaknesses, and he continues to welcome him. And Jesus says to each of us, I must wash your feet. You are clean. And I know that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Let's get going. Let's continue our journey. This trying time in Peter's journey indeed continues. After Jesus is arrested, Peter finds himself in a courtyard not very far from where Jesus is being held. And it is here, surrounded by the many who are speaking against Jesus and speaking for his crucifixion, that Peter denies Jesus 3 times, saying, I do not know that man. We read that after his 3rd denial, Peter went out and wept bitterly, which I believe is an emotional release of Peter's deep regret and his repentance. I equally resonate with Peter's confidence that he would not fail in following Jesus, and with his tears. Not too long ago, I allowed a feeling of righteousness, a feeling that I was above another, to settle in. I welcomed it, I tended it, I was keeping this righteousness strong and healthy. And then one day a dear friend said to me, that doesn't seem like the way of Jesus. And I broke. I wasn't living the way of Jesus. I want to acknowledge that the situation was very hard. I had been wronged. But in the middle of it, Jesus was inviting me to be humble, to not speak maliciously, and to not hold on to another's offense by lifting myself up. I did weep about my holier-than-thou attitude as I confessed to Jesus. Again, I quote from therapist Carissa Early, and she invites us to ponder this. What if God calls us not to a perfect walk before him, but a consistent drawing near in weakness? In the highs and lows of our human experience, we can come boldly through the throne of grace, where we receive God's help, as written in Scripture, for the righteous falls 7 times, and then, by God's grace, the story continues, and rises again. To err is deeply human, but to repent and to draw near to the heart of the Father in the gospel is profoundly Christian. Jesus is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And God the Father has ordained our journey of faith. Not only are we not alone, we're held in the grasp of a God who has purchased our freedom and our identity with his very life. We can walk confidently in our humanness, not because we never fail, but because he never does. Psalm 51 offers us a beautiful image of God's heart towards our repentance. And I'm going to invite you, if you would like, to read this prayer from Psalm 51 together. Let's begin together. Have mercy on me, O God. Cleanse me with hyssop. Is it there? Oops, sorry. There we go. Let's start together. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence,
or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth to declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. There might be one more. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Let us pray. God, thank you that your invitation to us is filled with warm welcome. Thank you that as Jesus was on earth, he chose to model to us his love, his servant attitude towards us by washing the feet of his disciples. Thank you that Jesus declares that we are clean. Thank you that Jesus knows our weaknesses and invites us to follow. Thank you that we are allowed to be human, that we are allowed to make mistakes, that we are allowed to falter, that we are allowed to be weary, that all these belong as we work with you, God, in this journey of life. God, thank you that you invite us to come to you with those areas of life where we maybe have strayed from you, strayed from your ways, or where we've been a little bit arrogant and said, oh, certainly that won't be something that I will do. Help us to come to you with confidence that you will receive us with gentleness and that you will cleanse us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
If you could stand and worship with us for this last song, please. Show me.